Tom Neary, take one. Okay, Tom, so could you just tell us where you were born and your date of birth, please?
Right. I was born in the village of Hapton, which is the rural district of Burnley in those days. I was born on the 21st of April, 1919. My father was John Neary, and my mother was Catherine Neary, Neary Loftus.
Yep. Sorry, Sam. And were you an only child, or did you have...
No. I was a second son of the family. I also... There were three brothers and two sisters. But all that survived was my oldest brother, John, and myself. John was 5 years older than me. In my early days in the village, I went to St. Margaret's CFE School, which was absolutely marvellous church school. But and when I was 6 years old, I went to Padiham, which is roughly a mile away, to St. John's, the Baptist RC school, which I, for the rest of my time, I stayed there. Which I left just before I was 14. The school itself, it was marvellous, really, and of course we concentrated. The headmaster was excellent on all sorts of subjects for a primary school. And then I left in 1933 in Holy Week, and I started work on the on Easter on Tuesday after the Easter holidays, and I wasn't quite 14, so I started in the dye works.
Yeah, but more, just to go back to your school, Tom, and your school days, really. What did you? Was there anything that you particularly enjoyed doing in school?
Oh yeah,
lessons and so on.
Yeah. Well, what we really covered, of course, apart from the mathematics and English, we concentrated quite a bit. I was good on Latin, of course.
Yeah.
For the church Latin, and then and all sorts we studied besides: astronomy, geology. The headmaster was a really brilliant man. So, and of course in music, he was really hot on music. So we had all these talents where we used to have these concerts and musical, what would you call it, little operettas and all that sort of thing.
Yeah. Your mother and father, Tom, were they church people, would you describe them?
Yes, my father came from Ireland, from the west of Ireland, from County Mayo, outside of a town called Ballinar. My mother was born in Padiham, but her father also came 3 miles from where my father came from, a place called Atimas in County Mayo. My grandmother, she came from Yorkshire, came from Selby. So it would appear in the early days they came and drove into Yorkshire and moved from Selby to Padiham. So they were in Padiham from 1880, somewhere about. And of course, my mother, they got married in Padiham, that would be about 1911, something like that.
And what did your dad do?
He worked in the chemical works. He was a foreman on the chemical plant making sulfuric acid. And he worked there apart from the war years. He came from Ireland when he was 14 years of age, and he worked through Yorkshire till he came to where some of his relations was. And he worked there till the outbreak of war in 1914, when eventually he went into the Connacht Rangers. His other brother, Anthony Neary, joined the Dublin Fusiliers. He was killed in the Dardanelles.
So you have this military background from your father and your family?
Yeah, and my mother's side also.
Right.
Mother's father, brother, he served first in the Boer War, and then he served in the garrison artillery in the First World War, and he was badly wounded at Arras. The other mother's first cousin came from Canada, and he was called Dominic Dempsey, and he was a lieutenant captain and became, I understand, lieutenant colonel. And he was so badly wounded in the battle of where the Canadians were at around Ypres. Mm-hmm. And he was in a wheelchair and he died soon afterwards.
Right. So because you got to the stage where you've left school.
Yeah.
You went into chemicals or something, you said?
No. What happened, when I left, I heard that there was a job vacant in the dye works,
yeah,
just about half a mile away. So as soon as I came from school, I went down and I got the position. So I started just before I was 14 in the dye works. It was called Penny Brothers and Winder. So I started what they call yarn crafting, where those days they were like yarn in links and went into what they termed the kier, all about 3,000 pounds of yarn, and they used to boil it under pressure, came out of there, go into the bleaching where you would bleach it. So I did my first year or so there, and then I became head boy, and eventually by the time I was 17, I took the charge of the kier where they'd throw boys under you, turning the yarn off. And it used to go to the dye works, the bleach craft, the mercerising departments. So by I was 17, the union complained about being underage and I had to come off this job and teach someone how to do it. So then after a while, I went and learned me mercerising. So mercerising, and by 18, 19, I was on about £5 a week.
Yeah.
You know, it's a good wage them days.
The reason you went into dye works at that stage, was that anything to do with your dad? Because your dad had this chemical background as well.
Oh, well, of course, he worked at what was called John Riley's those days. Or now he's known as William Bly's, and it's changed over what they call the Cato Group. No, he had no knowledge of anything as regards the textile industry, but it came naturally. I just learnt as I went along.
Yeah, I suppose this area around this,
yeah,
this part of Lancashire was full of those sort of places anyway.
So I was there up to 1939, so I could do any work in any of the works. I could do any job.
Yeah.
So that's how I really started. The knowledge, I could bleach, I could mercerise, I could prepare the cloth, dye it. In those days, of course, there wasn't as many complications of modern dyeing. It was mostly either directs, bats, sulfurs, zoics, and that was it.
Yeah. So that's 1939.
Yeah.
So then there are some clouds appearing on the horizons, aren't there, of 1939?
That's right. Now, at the same time, I used to play for the battalion football team and the works football team, and I also, when we were at school, I was gifted to be a bit fleet of foot, so I was a school champion between Cone and Ossetwistle, all the Catholic schools there in the 100 yards.
Yeah.
So of course, that, and I also studied music, so I was playing the dance band as a youth,
yeah,
and the rest of it. Then the war came along, the clouds. So from being on roughly £5 a week, it came to June 39, things were going, so I thought about joining the Territorial Army. But various reasons, I know it wasn't. I didn't call up till October 39, when I was called to the colours then, and I went to Squires Gate, Blackpool, and did my training there with the East Lancashires.
Do you remember, forget the date, but when early September 39, when war was declared?
Yeah.
What happened on, and what it was like at that stage?
Yeah, I remember it it was on the Sunday. And the reason I remember it is I went to watch Accrington Stanley play Blackburn Rovers on Accrington Stanley Ground, Cup tie, which Stanley won. Remember it quite vividly. And of course, when we came back, we'd heard about Prime Minister making his speech about the war was declared. So it was quite vivid.
And did your dad or your family have any thoughts about, or did you have any thoughts immediately about joining the forces?
Oh yeah, it was in your mind. It was your duty. And of course, other lads were joining up, so it had to be done. There was no, I would say, like the First World War, it wasn't like that. But you know, it had to be done, so, and the cause was right, as we assumed.
Yeah.
So we joined, you know.
Yeah.
And that was it. Yeah. So I was 20 years of age then.
When you joined that?
Yeah.
So you joined the...
I joined the East Lancashire Regiment at Squires Gate at Blackpool, where I was called to. And when I got there, they announced in Squires Gate, off we came. There the colour sergeants were all lined up. shout your name out. You remember Canton. What the hell's Canton? I know. Canton is a battle honour of the East Lancashire regiments. It's the only battle honour, the only regiment to have that battle honour from the Boxers Rebellion. You know. So, down we march into the camp, and of course, the usual thing, got his pots and his plates, and then eventually went to the Naffy, and quite a change it was. So, we did a training there about the first 6 weeks. I was in this Canton platoon. The sergeant was called Hale, Charlie Hale, come from London. The corporal, he was a part Irish lad, I think he was. Knew him. I met him years after when we were in the Ardennes. Anyhow, we did his first 6 week training there. Then we moved to from the company to A company, I think it was, where we did a firing on the ranges, and I did my first guard.
Before you got your first guard, Tom, what about your training? And that was just general soldiering, presumably, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, when we first went, for the first day or two, of course, we were in civilian clothes, so we were doing foot drill and so on. Then it wasn't very long, and the issue was with the khaki. And that winter was really particularly cold. So we did the foot drill, the marching about, and after a few days, we got the Lee Enfield rifle packed in grease. We had to clean the grease off. Then we started with the arms drill. And then, of course, we were learning to with the Ren gun. Strip it down, the parts for it, and all the rest of it. And then we moved to the other company.
Because the regiments or the battalion that you were in was infantry.
Infantry, yeah. The East Lancashire Regiment, of course, the 1st Battalion, the 30th, the Foot, formed in, if my memory is correct, in 1698, about that time. So it's well over 300 years old. So in clear, the regular battalions then were the 1st Battalion and 2nd Battalion, which was the 59th of Foot. So of course we were told about all this, but I knew partly from the family anyhow. And we get to the other company, we first of all go on the range at Russell, firing the rifle and the Bren to pass with proficiency. And then, of course, we're doing training, night training, all like on the sand dunes and all the rest of it. Then you come up, you're on guard. So I've been in the army not very long, about 8 weeks or something, 10 weeks.
How long was the training, Tom, approximately?
It would be... approximately 5 months.
Right.
Yeah.
So you just about finished your training at that stage.
Mm. So then, when we'd done this training and that, they moved us to A company, and from there, of course, you're ready for going a draft. So they moved us after just short of 6 months, and we moved us to Highton outside of Liverpool. I was there for 5 days or so. And all the time there doing perimeter guard on Speak Aerodrome. And then on the Sunday, we were on this draft, and I joined the 4th Battalion, well, Crowder joined the 4th Battalion, East Lancashire Regiment, down in Marlborough, around Marlborough.
Is that Wiltshire?
In Wiltshire. So I was there for, about 2 months, roughly. And then, because there was... They didn't know exactly what was going to happen. We were under secret orders because we understood after we were going to go to Norway.
Yeah.
So the division was telling us one thing and they couldn't obey it. So when that was cancelled, in April, we were moved to move to France. So we left Marlborough on the 23rd of April. Onto the train, the doors was locked, and away we went and landed at Southampton.
What date is this roughly, sir?
23rd of April, 1940.
Right.
We get onto the boat, which was a Ben McCree, and we sailed from Southampton, we passed, it was evening, through and you could see Isle of Wight and so on. And we landed in the morning at Cherbourg. We disembarked at Cherbourg, marched up the hill to this big camp on the hill overlooking Cherbourg. And in the afternoon, we were back again down the hill, where we got on in the sidings on the railway trucks, 40 Homs ten Chevaux, that's 40 men, into, I understand, into, so roughly a platoon went in.
40 men into a
cattle truck.
A cattle truck.
That's right. The other one, I mean, you understand, it's like 10 horses or 40 men.
Yes.
So then it goes off about 6 miles an hour, trunking along. Lovely day in April.
Is this the first time you've been out of the UK in your life?
Yeah, first time.
So what did you think of that moment about being in France?
Great atmosphere. You never get that afterwards. The different atmosphere of life. It's only small, but we had no experience. Entirely different. The smell of the French cigarettes and the atmosphere is entirely different to us to what we were used to. So it goes along, and then in the morning we landed at a place called Fresnes, where the battalion stayed for a couple of days.
This was in Normandy?
In Normandy, I understand. Yes, it was Normandy.
Yeah.
So we got from there, after 2 days, one man got killed with an accident, and another got badly hurt, was a traffic accident. So on we get again, but in the meantime, having had vaccination, my arm was swelled up. So they sent to the MO, and when the battalion got back onto this, they went up to Ronc, I understand, outside Armentières. I was sent to the emergency hospital, which was again Rouen. But when, about a week or so, when they sent me to the 5th Infantry Base Depot in Rouen, when I got there, some more had been in hospital, plus some reservists, we was there, East Lancashire Company, and we're in the woods there. So we called for reservists then, but we hadn't been there very long. The forest fire, we tried to put that out, and they moved us. And we go on the train again, and we've landed at a place, we arrived at a place called Beaumont-les-Sorth. Mm. So while I was at Beaumont-les-Sorth, one of our chaps, he's like a fella, Gibbons, he'd been bad with dysentery. Then those days, they got castroil to counter it. Well, we didn't have much money. I mean, we had 7 shillings a week, 7 went to my mother and 7 I had. So what we had, we joined together. So this night Gibbons was in a farm, in a barn, down off the main road of Beaumont-les-Sorth. He went down this track where he would hear the bullfrog croaking away. He got down on the left hand side was the farmhouse, and then at Diconnell's to it was a barn. There was a pump with old cobbles and a pump there for the water, where all the ends was running round, and it used to wash all the manure down into this ditch. Some bright spark had decided that latrines would be on this little mound where to cross this ditch.
Yeah.
So the lad said, well, we'll go and have some earth bondy for it, I think it was called, egg and chips, in other words, and wash down with wine. We'll go down into the village. So, I'm the last out, so Gibbons is there, and he's slip. I said, what are you doing there? Have you not? He said, yeah, I've finished now, but, you know. I said, oh, come on. So, what we have, we joined, and we went, and we had egg and chips and a drink. So, coming back, we're all right, we're sober enough and that. Couldn't be thought to be any different. So, they decided, before we turned into the barn, that they'd just go to the latrine, you know, over the water. So one jumps over on the slope, the other jumps over, Gibbons jumps over and fell in it.
Yeah.
Get me pants. Go and get me with me pants out at after me pack. Mm. The other, me pack. All right. So he had no more pants, all he had was underclothes, of course, which he changed, and he took his pants off and hung them on the edge.
Yeah.
So we go into the barn, and round comes the order corporal, wakey wakey, breakfast, where's my pants?
Yeah.
They're on the edge, Gibbo. Go and get them. So they went and got them, brought them back. It was then into May, early days of May. It was frosty, and his pants, he could nearly stand up on their own. What am I going to do with them? They'll have to wear them. There's nothing else I can do. So, Gibbo puts his pants on, we get for breakfast, and that day, filling time, they decided they would do a route march. 20 miles. The sun came out, a beautiful summer day, and when we're marching in front of Mason either side of the road, of course it dries on as he's marching along. Get away, you bloody stink, you boy. Get away.
Because as his clothes were warming out.
That's right, he was steaming,
yeah.
You know. So we get back to Bauntley South. Now, the company commander, he was called Captain Hawes, about 5'5", a chap, big bushy tash. You're all right. And the first thing is, oh, this bugger, he'd been out in Africa over the blacks watching.
He was a major, was he?
No, captain. Captain Hawes.
Yeah.
Yeah. H-A-W-E-S. Up north of March, it's not major, up north of March we did, coronary inspectors. Like you look out the corner of your eye, he's coming round. You look like a lot of bloody baboons. Mm. I don't want you going back in that astronomy and putting weight on again, but you've lost sweating. Mm. What's this infernal smell? See, his tack's going up and down. Bloody hell, what is this? Dismiss the praise, hot major. They broke up. So from there, we moved off, going to the breakthrough had started.
Before you go on there at the moment, let's just clear up a couple of things, Tom, that I'm just thinking about. You were at that stage a rifleman.
Yeah.
At that stage, in
that's
an
right.
infantry
that's right.
Cool. Italian
yeah.
company. And you were part of a division, presumably at that stage, or were you?
No, at that stage, we was reserves.
Right, okay.
Because men are out of hospital and, you know.
Yeah. And you were just
waiting to be called to battalion.
Yeah,
as a leader.
And you would then be going up to the front somewhere, presumably.
Well, we'd have gone up to Armentier, somewhere around there.
Right, okay. Yeah.
So, of course, the breakthrough was starting, so they moved us then, going up towards Abbeville. Mm. But we never got there. The company coming down past with the enemy, the Germans coming around. So, what they did, they formed a battalion. And there was one company was East Lancashire's, the other companies were Scottish regiments, and they called it the Syme Battalion, name they gave it, and it was SYME, because it was Colonel Syme, he was Scotchman. So with that, we pulled back in order, and of course the jerry came, we dug in, and the bit of fighting went on, drew back, till the finish, we came back to Rouen. And we're a few miles out of Rouen, dug in. And of course, they came over bombing us again with the dive bombers, and then the mortars would follow. Then you could see them running out of the orchards, and then with machine gun fire between us. So eventually, withdrawing. So in our company, we had the honour in our section of being the last to withdraw. So we was told every man for himself, see what we got. It was so desperate. So we pulled back. Down through Rouen, across the river, we got marched across with the officer. That's across. Night time it was up the other side, the hill of Rouen into the woods. Other part of the companies were in the old area where they'd been. We were off this road, we were there all night, bombing, shelling were going on in Rouen. Morning, about before dawn, descended on the road. We didn't know where we were going, but we were making in the direction of a town called Elbeuf. This old dirt truck came along, we got it and talked to him, and he saw it hanging on all over, and he took us into Elbeuf. Well, when we got into Elbeuf, dawn was just breaking, and it was bombed and smoking, they bombed that. So we marched through there, the full company were all together again, East Lancashire. And we got through there, and there were trucks waiting for us again. and he took us to this other town, and we didn't know, but it was Ebro, which is famous, the Bishop of Ebro, I understood, was the one of them that burnt Joan of Arc. So we get into Ebro, and there's a big college there in the ground. As you walk through the gates, on the right hand side was the ablutions, where you could go and wash and shave, this big college building, and then like a big rugby pitch, and then it was banked up at the sides where you could rest on the bank, and over to the sides of the railway station. So we had a wash and a shave when we all settled, and the sun came out. So as we were all rather fatigued, to put it mild, we rested on the side of the bank, the sun on us. Overcome the bombers, about 1,000 feet up, roughly, about 100 of them, and they're dropping the bombs all over, of course. And the bakehouse, there must have been a bakehouse there belonging to, isn't it? Up, down come the loaves in the runders, they were showering down on us.
The bombs had hit the bakehouse.
Hit the bakery, and the loaves were coming down.
Yeah.
So they got, we were lucky with no casualties, they got over the other side, and they killed a lot on the station.
How far at this stage, darling, this is sort of Dunkirk time, isn't it?
Yeah.
How far in miles, roughly, are you from Dunkirk at this stage?
Will it be? No, what would it be?
Would it be a couple of 100 miles?
Oh, no.
100 miles?
Aye, 100 and less, probably.
And less. Mm. Because the main part of the East Lancashire, 1st Battalion East Lancashire, were at Dunkirk, were they not?
And the 4th Battalion.
And the 4th Battalion.
But the, like I say, were split up.
Yeah.
And of course, it was such a shower that they were all over the place.
That's why you were part of this
battalion. That's right. Yeah, that's why all the different regiments formed the, you know.
Yeah.
So, it was all whistles were going, jammed together, get outside there, outside the gates of the college. Outside there, the machine guns opened up, the fifth columnists or what they were, so we silenced that. So we marched along, picked us up, bumped us outside the town and said, make your way for Le Mans. So, lads at 20, and Le Mans, what the hell's Le Mans like? So we march along the road, and an ambulance comes along after about 5 miles, picks us up, and we hid in the woods for the night, having on guard, waiting for a dispatch rider to come. He didn't arrive, so he took us down to Le Mans, where we stayed in this garage, in this big barracks for one night. We moved from there in the morning, went to a place called Mulsanne's, I think that's the right name. We were there for about 4 days, and we heard that we were trying to get out. So we got on what trucks there were, and we finished up down at St. Malo. There was Bill fighting overhead, and so about a few miles out of St. Malo, out of the trucks we came.
You didn't, at that stage, Tom, you said the fighting, there were plenty of aircraft around.
Yeah.
But was there very much in the way of German infantry?
No, we they hadn't caught us up. When we got as far as Le Mans, apart from the forward scout cars, whoever they were, we weren't bothered.
But had you seen much prior to, on your way up towards slightly earlier than this?
Oh, yeah. We had the battle lower down than Abbeville. Then we had the battle outside of Rouen, where we dug in. We were laying the minefields across. They came over and with the Stukas and dive bombed us. Then, of course, the early troops followed in, where the mortar bombs started coming over and the shells. Then they were running out of the Yorkshire. You could see them about. They'd be about 400 yards away.
Yeah.
So we opened fire at them. They're firing back, but they're coming around the flanks. So we're told to withdraw, so we withdrew across the river.
Yeah, there was no way you could get through further, it would be, I suppose, east then towards Dunkirk, would it not? At that stage, to get to
Norway.
No, it was just Germany.
You had to withdraw. So I understand from that some came, some got away from Brest, some from the three different St. Malo, and somewhere at Saint-Nazaire. Anyhow, so we get there outside of St. Malo, and of course it was setting fire to all the carriers and the roads, you know, for miles. destroy them. When we get there, the red caps are there, get us onto the ship, it was spiked, and if it set the tide, it went down, you know. So we're finishing Southampton. But the ship, I understand, Paulie Nuttall, no, it was, it was sunk, I think, yeah. As well.
Yeah.
So we landed at Southampton, I don't know what the date was, because it was
yeah, well,
they don't care, you know. The
main bulk of the evacuation from Dunkirk and that stage happened.
Yeah. No related, sir. So, could get out. But, we land at Southampton, we got on board the train, finished up into Durham City. We had breakfast there in the Masonic Hall. When he came out, right facing was Durham Cathedral. Lovely day, lovely city. We got on from there on the train and we finished at Gateshead. He gets off at Gateshead, a company strength, because it's scattered all over. He gets off at Gateshead and we went to a school called Oakwell Gate School, right on the Tyne. So, was there about a week approximately, a bit more maybe. And then some flyboy said, hey, if they say what battalion you're from, say it's from depot. So, they came round, I didn't say anything, so on the Saturday night, we were on the way again. No, it was a Saturday night, but Saturday lunchtime.